Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Ah, Rahm Emanuel, remember when Rahm Emanuel heard about that Kim Fox, Jesse Smollett, Tina Chen whitewash and stood up and said, it's a whitewash.
This is a whitewash of justice. A grand jury could not have been clearer. Mr. Smollett is still saying that he is innocent, still running down the Chicago Police Department. How dare him? How dare him? After everybody saw, and I want to remind you, this is not the superintendent's word against his. The grand jury, a sliver of the evidence, and they came to a conclusion, as did the state's attorney's office. This is not the superintendent and the detective's department word against his. And even after this whitewash, still no sense of ownership of what he's done. He says that, in fact, he is the wronged in this case.
Well, now we've got former U.S. Attorney Dan Webb, the pasty-faced combine boy, as the special prosecutor in the case. It kind of upset me a little bit because, you know, I basically told Judge Toobin not to do it. But here's an interesting question. We're going to have, and now it's time for the whitewash. But here's a question. Does Kim Fox, state's attorney of Cook County, take the fifth? You know, on advice of my counsel, I choose not to answer your questions that you're asking me. Does she take the Fifth Amendment? The prosecutor of Cook County? And what happens when Dan Webb, if he does, starts asking for phone records and sees the Tina Chen numbers on her phone and also maybe Kamala Harris numbers on the phone? Because, you know, have you seen those pictures of Kamala Harris and Kim Fox? Kim wants to be United States attorney. I think we all got to put our dreams aside now, Kim, now that you've done what you've done. But if you take the Fifth Amendment and I hear about it, well, you just made me another story. It's the gift that keeps on giving to columnists like me. We'll talk to Sheila O'Brien, former judge, retired. Without her, there would be no special prosecutor. And Mayor Ron Serpico of Melrose Park and the Taste of Melrose, because I'm going to the Taste of Melrose, and I already talked on Facebook with Peter Bella. He wants to go to the Taste of Melrose, and other guys at the cigar store want to go, and I just want a little table with a little sambuca and a black coffee and a cigar, and I'll sit there. I think I got a nice Italian knit shirt from the 80s. I could wear that, shine my shoes, and some slacks, because you know why? I'm not wearing shorts to the Taste of Melrose. The Casso does not wear shorts. As always, Jeff Carlin is here, my friend and executive producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis. And me, I'm John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, member of its editorial board. And you, with Kim Fox maybe taking the fifth, and the Taste of Melrose heating up, and everyone wondering, hey, Kim, what about those selfies you took with Kamala Harris? You're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Judge Sheila O'Brien, the reason why there's a special prosecutor in the Jesse Smollett case. But before we begin, I just got to remind everybody that I know the forbidden author, Sam Clemens, otherwise known as Mark Twain, had a little passage in one of his books about Tom Sawyer whitewashing the fence. Because Tom Sawyer, he was a little pasty-faced little kid, and he convinced everybody that this is great. I'll let you whitewash the fence. You give me the apple. And now I'm seeing another, like the old Tom Sawyer version, former U.S. Attorney Dan Webb being named as the special prosecutor in the Jesse Smollett case. And I'm thinking, Sheila O'Brien, where's the whitewash?
Well, you're not a fan of Dan Webb. So when I saw Mr. Webb, I thought, oh my gosh, John Cass, because you've been very vocal that you're not crazy about Mr. Webb. And
just a bit.
Yeah. But because I'm a lawyer, I'm going to play other side with you. We're
yeah,
going to go back
please
and forth.
Do. Challenge me.
I do. I think, first of all, I think we always have to look at every case on its own.
Mm-hmm.
He is very talented. He knows he's a great lawyer. He's not going to be doing this by himself. The two people that he's two lawyers he has working with him are rock stars. Have you seen their resumes? What this one of them was like an Army Ranger. He's an ordained minister. He served his country in the United States Army. So mm-hmm. it's not just going to be one person. There's lots of people who are going to be handling this. And we always have to say, you know, what do we have? We have, we've gotten very far here. We've got a special prosecutor named, and we are going to stay diligent as citizens. And we're depending on you to do that because you're the voice of Chicago.
I did not want to be the skunk at the garden party because this thing happened on Friday when they named the special prosecutor in the Smollett case. And just to refresh everybody's memory, we're talking here on the Chicago Way podcast, Jeff Carlin, myself, and our guest, Judge Sheila O'Brien. And if you like what you hear, if you think it's important to have an alternate voice that's not running for president, who's conservative, really conservative, then you know what? You might want to subscribe to the Chicago Way, find us on iTunes or wherever you find podcasts, and write us a kick-ass review. I can say kick-ass on a podcast, can I, Jeff?
Yeah.
And because that's important, because we're growing. It's a top podcast here at WGN. We want to increase it. Okay, so I wasn't happy on Friday when I heard it. I'm like, oh, but I had already interviewed Andy McCarthy, former attorney assistant prosecutor in New York and author of Balla Collusion. Balla. I sound like I'm ready to go to the Melrose Park Fest.
Exactly.
Ball of Collusion. And so I thought I'd let it sit. You know why, Sheila? Because I wanted to see what others would write.
I wanted to see for once...
Do I have to jump in when I don't know what's going on, or can I wait? And what I've seen is, I'm stunned that the fourth estate in this town is treating Dan Webb like a hero, and everything you've said about him is true. He's a great lawyer. He has a great resume. All these things, but I just go back to Judge Tooman was warned by a columnist in Chicago, please, Judge Tooman, don't pick a pasty-faced combine guy who could sell two dead rats on a coat hanger to blind men for earmuffs. And then what does he do? Tooman goes and picks Dan Webb, who, if I'm not mistaken, did the Kochman investigation.
Yeah.
And we still haven't seen anything from that investigation about like Daley's deposition and so forth.
Yeah, that's my question for you, kind of.
Yeah.
What is it that really gets your goat up about Webb?
The kid was killed and somebody did, like, what, 30 days in jail, 60 days
in jail? No, I think he did more than that. He pled involuntary. He had to do more than that. So there was a conviction in the Kochman case,
but
and there was a sentence.
But I didn't see the cops who – I didn't see any cops and underlings in law enforcement who played with files – get dinged really bad.
Okay, so that's
I didn't see any of that. I didn't see a layout of that.
Okay.
And to me, when you don't do that, it's the same thing like with the FISA court warrants and all that issue in Washington. When it seems like there's two tiers of justice, people get really upset. I do, because I know that there are some kids who get thrown away and there's others who don't.
Have him on. Ask Webb to come on.
I will.
You should. I mean, that's, you are the voice of Chicago. You ask the questions that we all want to have answered. So have him on and say exactly those things and say, are you going, what are you going to do in this case? That's fair, I think, and I hope he does.
I'm
going to
take the case, the facts as they.
Absolutely.
I'm
going to
follow the facts as they lead, right, or whatever he said on his way back from Disney World or wherever.
So I think here's where we are. That was that case. We're on this case. Let's all of us be diligent as citizens, watching, hopefully getting answers to what's going to happen. There will be a grand jury. That's the first thing. And the FBI is involved in this one, which I don't think the FBI was involved in Koshman. The FBI is involved in this case. And Webb said at the press conference he's going to call the FBI and get them in. And the FBI, they do a good job. I also looked up the resume of these other two lawyers from Winston who are going to be helping Dan Webb, and they are rock star people serving the country. As I said, the one fellow was like a number one ranger in his ranger class. So here we are, and we're going to move forward. We're going to stay positive. That's I like to do it. But I'm trusting you as the voice of Chicago because you are, and everybody reads you and everybody listens to you, and you're a very thoughtful guy. You're so middle of the road, John.
When I'm not being hated by the left and all those
people. But you know, if you don't have my mother used to say, you know, the personality of a person by their friends enemies. And the character of a person by their enemies. And right. So you know, the people of Chicago, I do. I read you and I want to know what you're thinking because I want to hear what's happening. Well, so stay on the story.
I'd like to hear what you're thinking here because, again, Judge O'Brien carried the water on this thing when Smollett was whitewashed. Rahm Emanuel went crazy. So did everybody else in town, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
And said it was a whitewash. What Kim Fox did was accept phone calls and communication from friends of Smollett, like Tina Chen, Michelle Obama's former chief of staff, and to go easy on Jesse Smollett. What did he do? He is alleged by a grand jury indictment to have, you like how I say that? So I put it in somebody else's mind.
Yeah,
I'm starting to learn that in my 60s. Instead of saying it myself, that he is alleged to have fabricated a homophobic racial hate crime, blaming Trump supporters for an attack, and it got national news, embarrassed the city, and then it turns out that he had his tuna fish sandwich and his cell phone, and he had a little silky like noose that he put around his neck and flounced around Jeff, and it was like a scarf almost, right. Wasn't it?
Yeah, an partially unwound skein of nylon rope that was draped across and that supposedly was a noose. But
that's what you do when you're
anybody when you're almost
hanged. You actually wear it like a trophy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, something to think about, too, is to look at all of the special prosecutions in the county. And everybody remembers Gaylord. I mean, Dan Webb put away 20 judges.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
I do have to say, here's again, the problem of remembering things is that people don't like me to remember.
But that was, he did the job there.
He did the job. Yeah. He got the Gaylord judges. He was the, was he the U.S. attorney then or the lead?
I think he might have been the U.S. attorney then. That's right. But he did the job. The other thing, John, is
you know who didn't get convicted? The guy with $40,000, he was a bailiff, with $40,000 in cash in his
freezer, right?
Freezer.
Did
and
he flip?
Was driving he was driving a Corvette. I think he had a Bentley, or maybe he loved Bentleys later. Maybe it was a Jaguar at the time. Uh-huh. Jaguar. And he was only making a bailiff, only making like 18 grand, but he had the 40,000 frozen in his and maybe I'll see him at the Taste of Melrose Park.
But maybe
Jimmy,
he flipped. Did
Jimmy
he flip?
DeLeo, the king of Rosemont, state senator. He was not convicted. And that was a case Scott Turow, I think, had.
Right, Scott Turow had it.
And because I remember stuff like that, people hate me.
People don't want to see you. But you had great impact in this case already, because on this show, we talked about Step Up for Chicago, and you wrote about it, and Winston Strawn's not charging any fees here. So the people of Cook County are not going to pay $1 million for this thing. That is historic. You did that by making sure it got out there that we talked about it. And if we have to get a special prosecutor again in the future, what person's going to step up next time and say, oh, I'm going to charge fees? So hopefully we've got a culture change here, and that, which would be great.
And I want to look at that. So that's so they won't, there will be no check for this or no cost. I mean,
that's what he said.
He said pro bono. Is that just himself personally?
That was one of my questions. But somebody said to me, and I'm going to go back and look at the tape. My understanding, it's all three of the lawyers who are working on this. And that's a big chunk for that firm. So I've got a shout out to Winston Strawn on that. You know, they're an international law firm, sure. So they have to talk to a lot of their offices all over the world. And they're going to do this for free. And that's really a lot of money for that firm, because they're not just in Chicago. So you've already had a tremendous impact in the culture of what we're doing here. We've got people stepping up for free. If we have to have this again in the future, I don't think anybody can ever say, I'm going to send the bill to Cook County. So that's a blessing, and I'm so grateful for that. I start cheering when he announced. I was watching the press conference because I wanted to see what he's going to say. And then when he said, we're going to do this for free, I start cheering, like clapping. I did. Megan Crepeau at the Trib actually put it in one of her articles, and she said, at that, Justice O'Brien broke into applause. And I did. I'm like, yes.
We are speaking to Sheila O'Brien, retired judge, and who sees the glass as always half full or half empty. Which one is the
half full?
I'm a half fuller, I think. Yeah, you know, full,
right? And you look at for the silver linings, so that's nice.
That's why you and I are yin and yang,
right? And that's why I love the silver linings. I love water, but can we get back to it now? So, if I'm the boss of this, I want Kim Fox's phone records ASAP.
Correct.
I want them subpoenaed, and I want to know who she talked to and how long and what's the order of the speak.
Yeah, absolutely. So you think she'll take the fifth? That's my question.
Ooh.
Yeah, you think she'll take the fifth? All right, so John, you play. That's my first question. You are Kim Fox on Friday night. You're thinking, first of all, you got to go hire a lawyer. I'm assuming. Yeah. County can't pay for that. I don't think. Right? Hope not. You're her lawyer now.
It's not going to be, it's not going to be the Attorney General.
Right. What? It's not going to be the Attorney General representing her. Right.
There isn't like a staff counsel for the Attorney General that does like their legal piece of stuff.
It better not. I hope she wants John to stay on this.
She wants a real lawyer in this case. She doesn't want a political face.
Right.
And if you're the Attorney General, you going to represent Kim Fox? I don't think so. And my first question in the car with my friends, all right, if you're Kim's lawyer, you tell her to take the fifth?
She has the right to. Yes, she does. And as a lawyer, I would tell her to take the fifth, depending on if there's going to be a real punishment for lying. You know, I remember Rich Daley had this guy with a Armani suits and a ponytail. He was like a consultant, like a media consultant. I forgot his name, Dana something. And if I were a political consultant, maybe Tom Serafin type, you know, although, you know, Tommy's a good friend of mine, I would say you cannot take the fifth. What happens to a prosecutor, Judge O'Brien, who takes the fifth in a high profile case where you've been accused of playing games?
I don't know. We've never had it happen before, have we? We're at film at 10, right?
What would happen? What do you think?
She has the right to take the Fifth Amendment. What's going to happen? Think about it. She's still the state's attorney. What are you going to do there? You're going to hold her in contempt for invoking her Fifth Amendment right? You can't do that.
Well, what about all the taxpayers and the people who
they could vote her out? But until then, she's still the state's attorney, right?
And she's been endorsed by
the Democratic Party
and her friend Tony Taxwinkle, right?
Yep.
So hey, I think it could get really interesting. This thing could get really interesting. So who knows? As a lawyer, the $64,000 question, you know, you might have the world's greatest prosecutors putting you under oath, but if your witnesses decide they're taking the fifth, where do you go? I don't know. We're gonna find out, aren't we? It's gonna be a wild ride.
Will we find out? How would we find out if in a secret grand jury proceed? This is not the old days when the Tribune reporters or somebody would put a water glass
that's
up
on the wall,
ear,
right?
The wall of the county building.
Well, he doesn't have to necessarily take her to the grand jury. He can try to depose her. That's what I would do. And if you take her in front of the grand jury, she's going to try to defend herself, right? So you don't want that. You're the prosecutor. So you want to know what's going to happen before you take it to the grand jury. So this is just me thinking, you know, the puzzle of this. You'd get everybody and say, oh, we're going to take your deposition. Yourself. Put them all under oath in the dep. See what they're going to say. Then you smoke everybody out and see what you got. And then you decide who you're going to take to the grand jury. I'm assuming he's going to do that. And so those deps are not secret necessarily. Right? They should be, I think, open. But, you know, hey, it's discovery. So usually we don't reveal discovery to the public, but she takes the Fifth Amendment in the dep. Now you know.
And that's the kind of thing that would be very difficult to hide because there's so much intention in this case, right?
And it's not secret. It's not grand juries are secret, depositions are not. I mean, I'm assuming if you're her lawyer, you're going to run in. I'm just thinking, boy,
right.
First of all, who's she going to hire? That's my first question.
Well, did he take depositions of Rich Daley to find out what did you do, Mr. Mayor?
I think he did, because that's one of the things that get you upset.
Yeah,
you
know? He won't release
you
the
depths. You want to see the depths, right. So I'm assuming he was thinking that way. I'm not trying to tell you, Dan Webb, what to do, but
oh,
we
no.
were talking about it all in the car on the way back from the, you know, we're all lawyers kind of gangling, yeah. And we went to lunch and we're all talking about it.
Where did you guys go to lunch? Did you go to Brunas?
No, we didn't go to Brunas. We just had to grab a sandwich because I had a
That place
train.
Is closed now. Isn't it Masali's?
No.
Is it still open?
No. We just grabbed a sandwich. We didn't go to Bruno's.
Oh. Okay.
I went to Bruno's the other night, though.
You did? What did you have?
I just had...
How's Luciano?
I just had Caprese salad. My husband always has that lasagna with the bolognese sauce. Then we bring half of it home. And then I eat that for breakfast.
Did you ever have the veal salt and bocca?
Yes, because you told me to have it.
With the linguine?
Yeah.
Alio on the side. That, you know who told me to have that?
Who?
My good friend, Rich Daley, years ago.
Really?
Yep.
Good friend, huh?
Uh-huh.
Obviously, this is something we take very seriously. We are honored to play a role in helping, as Judge Tooman said in a recent order, to restore the public's confidence in the integrity of our criminal justice system. The truth is, I have to go where the facts go, and I cannot let politics dictate where I go and how I make decisions. I intend to expedite everything, but the facts will take me where they take me.
Here's another thing. Remember the person that she had as the ethics person who quit? Oh, that's first witness.
Her
in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Right,
bring it down here, April Perry.
She's a former
U.S. attorney.
Big mistake, Kimmy.
Yes, we know. So I think there's just going to be some, like, you know, real easy ducks sitting on the water that
sure.
First couple days you're like, sure.
Plus there's such a deep digital footprint on all of this.
Exactly.
We saw it in the text messages that already came out,
right?
The emails that are already were put out there that we all had our hands on, but were after the fact and weren't part of, you know, this now. But the thing I want to ask you is that the timing of this, how long do we think before we really start to get the meat of it? Because there is an election coming, and like we said, that if she pleads the Fifth, then there is no recompense for the rest of us. Well, there is an election, but will this time up with that?
You know, everybody's speculating on that, but remember, the case, the hate crime case, the 16-count indictment case, that's already done.
Right.
So you just call the arresting officer and say, tell me what's in there. You know, but that's done. It's it's the unpeeling of what happened around it that's going to take a little time. But as you say, digital world, so much out there. Show me everything. April, come to lunch. You get her to lunch. You get a couple other people, and they start telling you what's happening. You call maggots. Come on down.
What possible defense would you have to not give up your phone records?
None. I can't think of any.
Now, what possible defense would others have who are, like, say, if you were Valerie Jarrett, if you were Michelle Obama, could you say, I'm not giving up my phone record?
If the call goes to the a public official, you got them on the public official's phone, so you don't need to get their numbers, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just go through it, the public official person. So it's going to be a different assessment. It's also going to be a different assessment from Cashman because, you know, Cashman, there was a death. That's a really horrible thing. But here there's not. And so it doesn't have that, you know, the sense of that you've had a death. And it's, this is basically a question of public corruption. Is there any public corruption? And that's just going to be, you know, more fun.
Is that what drove you really for the special prosecutor?
Sure. Isn't that what got your hair on fire?
But you tell us. You tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listeners.
That, you know, the rule of law is so in our bones as Americans and as me as a lawyer. You run a case into court and you dismiss it. You don't tell anybody. You don't call the arresting officer. Come on. And then you seal the court file. What are you doing? And it's a high profile case. You don't call the arresting officer. What is that?
What about the two-tier system of justice?
Yeah, that's no. Suggests. We're not doing that. That's wrong. You and I talked about this. If the janitor at 26th Street gets treated like this, I'm fine. But I have a feeling the janitor doesn't get this kind of treatment. And I think the public felt that way. And then the court file got sealed and my hair, I went nuts. It's like, that's it. Got to find a suit. Looked at the law. Let's go. Start that typing. It's just furious. So here we are, but we've come a long way. You know,
thanks to you.
It's oh, you're kind. Thank you. Come a long way. This is, wow, it's so heartening. We came this far. It was really tough. There were some tough battles in those courtrooms. Those state's attorneys were not that nice to me.
And this isn't about, you know, Smollett himself. I mean,
no.
There's nothing, there's no repercussion for him on this. I mean, even if they find that it was mishandled,
they're going to
well, he might get jeopardy. Recharged.
Could get recharged. Yeah. Okay, so.
Right.
But again, the people say of the city being, you know, are we going to go down that rabbit hole if we've, let's say this comes to fruition and it's found that Kim Fox completely, you know, skirted the law, went around everybody. She gets in trouble. She's charged. There's going to be no appetite to go back after Smollett on this, would there? I mean.
If
anything, it would just further the city's lawsuit against him to recoup that money, but
right.
Not necessarily. I mean, where's the win in charging him again?
If he did something wrong, I mean, come on.
There's true. A charge. There's a. There's
yeah,
a
I mean, I'm asking. Yeah. Do we? Does
it depends. As Webb said, we don't know.
Right.
You know, we haven't even heard from.
No,
yeah.
No, but just it's a curiosity. I mean, people because when you talk to people outside of the sphere of politics and
right.
media, they say, "Who cares? You know, it's a small thing. I don't care. It's we're over it. You know, let's move on."
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, look, nobody died. Nobody got
right.
hurt. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Thanks be to God. We have lots of stuff going on in this city that we've really got to attend to. Now, does that play into this case?
No.
Not really, but it is bringing to light how does this state's attorney's office handle things? And it's going to bring things up to the public. Say, wait a minute. Is this how we want justice handled?
Another issue for the special prosecutor, I would think. The whole recusal lie.
Well, that's the whole case I had. That was a lie. You know, she used the word
recuse. In the colloquial sense.
Yes. But even under her own definition of, I recused myself, kind of, blah, 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 she still was involved in the case. So that whole thing is just...
Yeah, to the day of. I mean, there were text messages that showed the day of this sealing that there was
right.
a back and forth. And it's just like, that's it's a sham. And that's the stuff that boiled all of our blood. But I was more just curious about that idea because there is... Not a lot of appetite outside of us people, meaning media or,
right.
or political or legal types, to really care about this. But is it more, is it more about killing her chances of reelection or is it about actually finding the justice? And obviously, in the judge's mind and most of us, it's about justice and fixing the system and not letting anybody abuse the system. For
absolutely.
Their own
game. I mean, I'm not, I don't know Kim Fox. I don't. Not like her. I'm not trying to get her not elected, but I've had prosecutors come up to me at events and go, oh, thank you so much. The office is just a mess. It's terrible. People are upset being told not to stand silent. That's the new thing over there. Oh, Your Honor, we're going to stand silent. And, you know, standing silent sounds like it's no big deal, but when a prosecutor doesn't go in there and really go for it and the defense attorney's getting to say everything, we're going to stand silent. Wait a minute. You get in there and fight for the people of Cook County. So all this retail theft's not being charged. We're letting people out in the streets who probably should be in the pokey. They shouldn't be out on bond. this is very serious. And a lot of people working in that office have called me and said, thank you so much. Oh, it's unbelievable. I had a girl come up to me at some function, whisper in my ear, I'm a state's attorney. Thank you so much. We're so upset. They're so upset over there. People are really, really worried about what's going on. I am too.
They don't prosecute misdemeanors?
No.
I mean, that's a joke. You know that, Jeff. The misdemeanor court, these young attorneys, who used to start, that's where they'd start to prosecute and learn how to be a trial attorney. They're not doing it.
Yeah, they call it a smiley pros. So now the defense attorneys go up to the prosecutor and go, give me a smiley pros.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Instead of a nolly pros.
A smiley pros. Yeah, I need a smiley pros.
Oh, my
and
God.
I've heard this from a kid working in a courtroom. He said, I'm so sick of hearing this. It's exhausting. Give me a smiley pros. Ha, 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 ha. That's not funny. Yeah, we all laugh, but if you're the victim, are you kidding me?
If you're that young teacher who was slammed to the ground for her phone,
yeah.
Or
honestly,
her father,
her dad,
this young lady was slammed to the ground, and the guy walks on $100 bond.
I was furious when I read that.
You know?
Yeah, and so the other issue, and something we don't talk about enough, we need to. You got to move these cases. When I first came to Cook and became a judge, I was absolutely shocked at how long these people sit in jail waiting to go to trial. Uh-uh. Let's move this case. You got the police report. You got the copper. Let's go. Oh, we're gonna need some more time for this. And I fault the state's attorneys for that. Move these files. These people shouldn't be sitting in the county jail. If they're guilty, they need to go to the state system so the state pays to keep them, not the county. So we got a jail full of people who are awaiting trial. We as taxpayers should be letting the state house them if they are guilty and they need to go to the penitentiary.
They have plenty of attorneys,
right,
in the system. Here's the problem: bail is not punishment.
No.
It shouldn't be used as punishment.
Agreed.
Against the poor, right? Get the case going. If the guy, I mean, you don't want to put a homeless guy in
Correct.
Jail for peeing in at a bus stop.
Right.
You're gonna put really? The guy needs mental help.
Correct. But if you're going to put a guy, if you're not going to give this person a bail that they can afford, then move the case.
Right.
Don't let this person sit there for, there are people sitting there 18 months.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, even longer. I mean, we've seen the stories where there are people have been in jail for 10 years on
Awful.
Cases that have been moved and shifted.
And we have to, as citizens, put that pressure on our state's attorney's office. So what's going on down here? You move them. This is your job to move it.
The irony in all of that is that pressure was mounting, and that pressure led to some of these changeovers in the Evans case and how they are moving and adjusting the way we're doing bond system. Like, well, but it was all politically charged and driven, and so it was a terrible, crappy Band-Aid on a seeping wound,
mm-hmm.
and now we're dealing with the repercussions that, oh, the system doesn't work. Oh, the system's letting dangerous people out. Oh, the system's not doing what it's supposed to be doing.
The other thing on this is that people go, well, these poor kids, I feel sorry for them. I do. We all do. For people who have not had financial advantages that some of us have had, and they resort to crime. But there's people behind them. There's big institutional gangs around the nation, international gangs.
Guy gets picked up with a 9mm with 30 rounds in a clip. One in the chamber, Judge. He's given no bond at the bond hearing because they're doing the political thing, right?
Right. He gets cut loose the next week.
And then the next judge, he believes that, you know, bail's real, not punishment, gives the kid a $90,000 bond, which seemed reasonable, right? $90,000 bond. The next day, a guy without a job posts $9,000 cash, and he's driving around on Halsted 98th.
I mean, that's
right?
It.
That's what I wrote.
This is an institutional gang situation, and these are professional gangs. So they're using these kids. This has got to get unpeeled.
Yeah.
If, you know, you think the criminals don't know, the people who are fencing all this stuff, they don't know that you can come in and steal things out of these big stores? Of course they do.
On that. Until next time, for Sheila O'Brien, retired judge who's responsible for a special prosecutor in the Kim Fox, Tina Chen, Obama celebrity friends, Jussie Smollett case. Judge
thanks,
O'Brien,
guys.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
What'd you give him to do your chores?
What chores?
He's doing your white washing, ain't he?
I'm afraid you've got this all turned around. Joe, give me this.
He paid you?
Sure.
Look at him having all that fun.
Summer days, oh, summer days.
You know, Labor Day is a time of barbecue and families getting together, but I've got to tell you, I've got to go to the Taste of Melrose Park. The guys at the cigar store have been telling me about it. Bill Bright telling me how great the taste is. I haven't been there for years and years. Maybe when I was a little kid we went. But I'm coming back, and now telling us all about the Taste of Melrose Park is Melrose Park Mayor Ron Serpico. So tell us about the Taste of Melrose Park.
Well, first of all, a shout out to Bill Bright. He was a principal here for a million years. But this is our 38th year. We're 1 year younger than the Taste of Chicago. And we start on the 30th, which is Friday, from 6 to 11. The 31st from 12 to 11, I'm sorry. And then on Sunday from 12 to 10. It is not and does not occur on the Labor Day day itself. So it's those 3 days. We have roughly 65 stands. Many have been here for the 38 years. I think we only have two restaurants out of the 65, so it's predominantly family recipes. And the other thing that's that it makes us unique, the most anybody can charge per item is $3, and the vendors handle the money themselves. We don't, I guess for lack of it, or as you might say, get a piece of the take here.
What about the municipal employees? I mean, one of the best jobs in all of city of Chicago was the parking attendant at Bears games back in the old days. You know, you come up and you pay cash, and you know you don't want that there.
No,
you don't want that parking, by there.
No, parking's free. And we also have a trolley that goes up and down 25th Avenue. The building's at 1000 North 25th, and that'll get some folks that are walking to the Taste. So there's no admission. The parking's free. Our workers do get to work, and they volunteer in our beer, wine, gardens. And the money and the proceeds that we make from that goes to Marles Park Sports and Family Fund that we started roughly 23 years ago. And then with that money, we give to organizations like Espano Fest, which gives scholarships to young Latino kids, help support baseball, Sarah's In, autism, a myriad of different programs. So our employees volunteer. We have roughly about 300 volunteers.
And you tell them to volunteer, and they do, right? You're like,
they're,
okay.
They're very loyal people.
Yeah. Listen.
They love to support a good cause.
One of the things about Melrose Park that's interesting is that there's been at the fest, I'm told, there's the old Melrose Park vendors and the new. So you can go, and if you're interested in Latino food, Hispanic food, you can get tacos and churro and all the different great tasty stuff there. And you can also get peppers and sausage and maybe, Italian beef. How does that work?
Well, what's happened is, as I indicated, there's roughly 65 stands, and no stand can sell, only one stand can sell the same product. So nobody's competing against someone else. There's not four pizza venues. So that's the first thing. And then as far as over the last several years, there's been, yes, an Hispanic influence there. We also have four venues of music. One area is called Sabor de Mexico, which is a Taste of Mexico. And that's done the last probably 10 years. And we have a group that comes in. In fact, they're touring the United States from Guadalajara. They do the mariachi and the and ballet. So we've incorporated that because it is, as you indicated, you know, the Taste of Melrose Park. So there's an opportunity for everything there for folks for all kinds of taste. I would suggest, though, and I know your wife's Italian, there's probably more Italian things.
She's not Italian. She's Sicilian, okay? So tell me, she told me that the first time we met. She goes, I'm not Italian. I'm
Sicilian. No, she sleeps with one eye open, okay.
You're right, and there's a ball-peen hammer in the bedstand. I'm like, what's that for, honey? She goes, my brothers told me to keep it there.
Yeah.
Listen. Yes. So, let's talk about the Italian food for a second. What kind of food am I getting? Am I going to see like Danny's Deli guys? What am I going to see there?
Well, obviously,
Carl? Is Carl going to be there? And those guys?
You know what? That's a great question. Carol's been in and out. But, for instance, as you mentioned, you got the staples, you got the beef, you got the sausage, you've got the meatballs, but then you've got the chicken parm, and you've got different kinds of pastas with different gravies or sauces, whichever you want to call it.
What about the arancini?
The arancini,
the rice balls?
Right. Arancini's always a good one. Actually, the biggest, and then, of course, you know, there's the Snada Graziella makes a good sausage sandwich. There's fried zucchini, Parmesan sandwiches. There's pepperoni rolls. There's everything from fried dough to fried bologna.
Yes. No self-respecting Italian's going to pay for fried dough, okay? That's like a thing. If you do that, your grandmother's going to give you a smack. She's going to say, like, what are you spending for fried bread? What, I can do that in the frying pan at home.
Did you ever hear of sfingi? Sfingi is a little ricotta ball that's made by the Missionary Sisters of St. Joseph, and by far the most popular thing that's sold there. And it goes to a good cause. It helps the nuns, and they got so big we had to give them their own separate area because they can't make them fast enough. That's probably the most popular thing. Arancini was a very popular item also.
You know, Jeff wants to ask you a question, but first I got to say, yes. I need a place. Is there a little, like, table where I can sit outside and have a little, like, cup of, like, an espresso with some, like, on the set, on the side, and my cigar, and talk to my old friends, all the guys who are going to be like, John, you're here, I love you, man, come sit down with me. Like, what about that? Do you have a place? Do you have, like, Cass's
there's
Chicago?
There's all over the venue for people to sit, but I can give you a special invitation. And I have a pit by my office, and there's some tables that are there.
Oh,
you can join your friends there.
I'll
have homemade Italian wine, super sad cheese. You know, things that you can't get out.
Especially in August when Joe and Anne Marie are on vacation. You know, from their place. Yeah, Jeff, you have something for the mayor.
Mayor, and I got to ask: is there any meat on a stick? I know that's always popular at these types of events.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. In fact, that is one of the more popular items there. Celia's steak teriyaki, that's on a stick.
How do I dress? That's the thing. I got to know, do I go like shorts with sandals,
absolutely,
like some bleeping hippie? Or do I wear nice slacks and maybe an Italian knit, shirt? You know what I mean? And look presentable.
I got you. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to dress. I'm going to have shorts on and a polo shirt.
Well, that's because you're the mayor, but I'm coming as...
Well, I'm giving you special dispensation so you can wear it too.
All right, yeah. Mayor Serpico, what else? Free parking, right?
Yeah, there's no charge for parking. If we do catch a couple bandoleros doing it, they get shut down right away. Because we can't control, you know, some of the businesses that are out there. But definitely it's that. The other thing, if I may, too, there is a carnival there. There's a limit on the price on the rides, and that's for kids no older than 12. And the most important thing I'd like to point out, if you indulge me, mm-hmm. is that when I started 23 years ago, we started a Merrill's Park Sports and Family Fund. So all the proceeds that we make from the beer, the wine, the pop, and the water sales, after, of course, paying those vendors, goes into this pot of money, and I think we've given away about $1.5 million in the last 20-some years.
For what, scholarships and stuff?
Well, as an example, we mentioned Sarah's Inn, which obviously helps mm-hmm. Battered women, autism, Little League, just try to subsidize it to make it affordable. The following week after ours, we keep a lot of the venues there because there's a Hispano Fest that follows it, and we help give them money for scholarships programs they have. Special Olympics, just a myriad of different organizations that we try to subsidize. So it's really a great week the week after because we just go around and just give money out. So it's probably my favorite week of the year.
What about
no
soccer?
Attached.
Because there's one thing we know,
yes.
that Latinos and Italians love their soccer, okay? So do you have any, what's going on with the soccer culture there in Melrose?
The next week there'll be soccer during Hispano Fest. We do have a football soccer field. The problem is during our event, that's where the main stage is for the music.
Okay.
So that, yeah, that'll be the following week they'll have soccer during Hispano Fest. Otherwise, we don't have, yeah, we can't accommodate that.
Yeah, because I love, there's nothing like, you know, those clubs, you know, when your kid scores a goal and some guy some guy comes down and says, here's $50, kid, good going. I know about some of those teams. What about now, what as a journalist, do I go as a journalist or just a guy, you know, wanting to see his old friends? Do I bring a notepad? You know, like in
personally,
case anybody...
I think you should just come and enjoy it.
Yeah, I would. I you know, I enjoy
just
working.
Come and hang out. You mentioned Bill Bright. Bill always comes to visit us.
Yes. Yeah, Bill and some other guys at the cigar store were like, you gotta go to this. And so
Bill hangs around with a couple of priests, but I asked the question one day. He said he's a guy that needs a couple of priests. So I think when he screws up, he can go to confession right away. So,
Mayor Serpico, taste of Melrose Park. Can't wait to be there this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot for being. And save me a little. Remember, a little table, Anisette, and a cup of coffee.
You got it.
And an ashtray.
You got it.
Thanks, Mayor.
Now you take care. Thanks.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
See you. For Ron Serpico, mayor of Melrose Park, can't wait to go to that fest. And again, the Castle does not wear shorts at the Melrose Park Fest. And for Judge Sheila O'Brien, without her, there would be no special prosecutor, even if it is Dan Webb. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer of The Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, member of its editorial board. If you like what you hear, find us on iTunes, write us a kick-ass review, or wherever you find your podcast that is free, because this one's free, tell your friends. Have your friends listen. Where are you going to hear Sheila O'Brien talking about the Fifth Amendment and Kim Fox? Where are you going to hear Andrew McCarthy laying it out, a Chicago way takedown of a president? And where are you going to hear the taste of Melrose? Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Chicago Way.